An audio homily for the 12th Sunday in Ordinary Time. There is absolutely no denying that the world is currently experiencing so many effects of sin. From diseases and pandemics to facing the painful truth that something like racism can be systemic, we are seeing the effects of sin plastering the headlines every single day. Added to that, are the many who are having battles within themselves to fight addictions that come in many forms, domestic violence that cause millions to suffer, oftentimes in silence. The hard truth is that the effects of sin have managed to find their ways into our lives, not unlike the way an octopus is able to squeeze itself out of even the very tightest of places and situations. Sin and its effects are everywhere, and if it is not overt, it is definitely covert. One of the effects of sin is fear, and this is addressed in our scripture readings for this weekend, the 12th Sunday. St. Paul addresses the Christians in Rome about sin and its deadly effects on all humankind. It was through one man, and here he would be referring to Adam in the first account of creation in the book of Genesis. And from that first fall, sin and its effects have spread through the whole human race. In these uncertain and even baffling times of the COVID-19 pandemic, we have a real-life metaphor that all of us can relate to about how something seemingly small and invisible to the human eye can cause so much havoc and turmoil in our lives. We see in real time how a virus moves from one spot in one country to another spot in the same country, and then to another country, and in a matter of weeks, it is even able to enter into every country on the planet. There are no borders to prevent this spread, and the entire world is soon infected. While it is good that many of us can be so cautious in protecting ourselves against viruses these days, making sure that we don't touch our mouths and rub our eyes and noses and being careful about where our hands go, wearing masks and PPEs where it is necessary, how many of us are just as cautious, I wonder, in protecting ourselves against sin and its effects? Being careful of the things that we come out of our mouth, the things that our eyes get absorbed by, and what our hands touch. If we are just as vigilant in our spiritual lives, we will be putting up a good fight against the wiles of the enemy of our souls. Paul is saying the same thing about the insidiousness of sin. COVID-19's spread and insidiousness is nothing compared to how nefarious sin is. Sin not only crosses borders of nations, it is also transgenerational. It finds its habitat in the human person, and it is there by default. We don't need to do anything to be sinners, and therefore be in need of redemption and of salvation. We don't need to be murderers or thieves, criminals or crooks to need redemption. This reality that we are all sinners is something that all adults in the opening weeks of any RCIA journey have real difficulty in understanding and accepting. Because the way sin is understood by the masses, sin is something that is associated with what one does rather than who one is. The way out of this bleak situation doesn't come from us, but from a power that is beyond nature, a power that is above nature, or as the name indicates, a power that is supernatural. It is only a divine response coming only from God Himself in the person of Jesus Christ that can provide the necessary balm or salve to this inherited wound of sin. As Paul so rightly intuited, this is a gift that considerably outweighed the fall. Now that's a phrase that almost begs unpacking. A gift that considerably outweighed the fall. It's as if Paul is saying that in Jesus Christ, God has given him self to humankind when humankind was at its weakest. And the only thing that can overcome and obliterate sin was God Himself. But more to it, this response to sin really is an overkill. God didn't have to go over the top in having His only beloved Son die for us to bring sin to its knees. But He did, because love not only needs expression, but an expression that is very grand and overt in its gesture, just so that we will truly get the point that we are loved by God in an unconditional and truly unimaginable way. It is this love that frees us from any fear that we may have in life. Every person who is born in sin inevitably experiences fear in its different forms. Our lives are limited by our fears, and many people fail to reach their potential in life because of fears, phobias, and anxieties. Jesus' answer to this seems cryptic and maybe even a bit platitudinous when he mentions in today's gospel text about how God even cares about tiny sparrows. It's Jesus' way of telling us that if God cares for something as seemingly insignificant as sparrows and how much they are sold for, then He cares for us human beings with much greater love and attention. And when we know that God has our back in life, it really is a game changer when facing fears of any kind, even when we are facing the last bastion of all fears, which is the fear of death itself. This kind of confidence in God in life requires of us to, as it were, hand over our lives to God and to live in a deep and abiding relationship with Him. Just as you wouldn't trust your life to a stranger, if there is no relationship with God that is deep and strong, there would also be no reason anyone should trust one's life to God. Jeremiah had that kind of trust when he said to God that he had committed his cause to Him. Now that's not a throwaway phrase at all. When we commit our cause to anything or any person, we are saying that we are fully invested and fully bought in. There is no prevaricating, evasiveness, or fence-sitting. In a marriage, the spouses commit their cause to each other and to the marriage. The same for anyone who is ordained or makes final vows. It's an all-in situation. So too do we see this in the Gospel when Jesus says, "If anyone declares himself for me in the presence of men, I will declare myself for him in the presence of my Father in heaven." Declaring yourself for anyone is again a very serious commitment. Heaven is our life's goal. When our time on this earth ends and we are before the judgment of God, then Jesus' declaration of Himself for us in the Father's presence at that moment has to be the most important alliance that we can ever have in life. If that is so, then it has to follow that our most important alliance in life now will have to be our commitment to Jesus and His cause. Here in Singapore, we have been slowly coming out of our circuit breaker lockdown situation, and our Catholic community hasn't been able to celebrate the sacraments since February 13th, and that was just before Lent began. We have, as it were, bypassed the entire Lent and the entire Eastertide and have come back to the second half of Ordinary Time this Sunday, the 12th Ordinary Time Sunday. Such a long period of being deprived of the sacraments and grace that comes from the sacraments can perhaps cause one to become weak in one's response to live with a God-centered purpose, and as such, to live with less fear in life. Don't let this weaken your commitment to God and to his cause. God isn't limited to the sacraments for his love to fill our hearts and ease our fears. A God whose power is limited to the sacraments alone is not omnipotent. So let the words of Jesus, assuring his disciples to not be afraid, fall afresh on our ears this week. And we can do this by looking with new eyes at how every crucifix in our homes is a strong reminder of just how much we are loved by God. Much more than tiny and seemingly insignificant sparrows. God love you.